Joining us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline is Mark Pankratz as we turn our attention to Tennessee SEC and college hoops for the first half of this final hour of the program. Mark, how are you?
I am doing great, guys. It sounds like both baseball teams, Tennessee and Charlotte, have already made scored more points than Vanderbilt did from three last game against Tennessee. So I'm good. I'm excited for tonight's matchup.
I think my favorite line that came out of the trip to Nashville was that they had to shut down the Vanderbilt cafeteria because they were all out of trays.
Oh, wow.
But anyhow.
But does anybody else not think that the first three-pointer that Vandy shoots tonight is going to be nothing but net? I mean, maybe it's the Tennessee, the beaten-up Tennessee fan in me that feels like tonight Vanderbilt's just going to come out and go like 12 for 15 from three and just be unconscious because of what happened in Nashville last game.
Yeah, it was rough and tumble in the first half, and then Tennessee really put on the clamps defensively and pulled away in the second half. And when you look at the matchup tonight, I don't think there's any question that, one, while Vanderbilt has just one win in conference play, they were the first team to knock off LSU, and they did so convincingly. They outscored them 99-90. And as Rick Barnes talked about in meeting the media yesterday, you can look at every player that Vanderbilt plays, and they've gotten better throughout the course of the season. So he thinks that Jerry Stackhouse has done a fine job, and I don't think there's any question they look at this as an opportunity for a second win after getting LSU, and I think they've dropped each game since. But I think they're pretty fired up for this matchup, and Tennessee has to be ready, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, sometimes you hear some of the comments by other coaches on these SEC calls or media appearances, and it's coaches talk, right? But when you watch this Vanderbilt team, Saban Lee and Scottie Pippen Jr. have both continued to improve. And Tennessee's struggle has been being able to keep guys out of the paint. And those are guys that if like Texas A&M did a couple weeks back, if they start attacking downhill and getting a bunch of paint touches and now all of a sudden kicking out to guys that we know that they're a better shooting team than they have shown in the past, it could be trouble for Tennessee because, if our offense is so much dictated by our defense, and if they're able to get the spots on floor and get paint touches, it's going to make it a challenge for us.
Charge or flop?
I think I'm not upset by the call. I don't think it was an obvious charge. I don't think it was an obvious block. I think the orange-blooded Tennessee fan would say it was absolutely a block. And if you're not a Tennessee fan, you're thinking it was an okay call. It should have come down to that. You have some empty possessions down the stretch that put yourself in that position to where you miss some front end, you miss some free throws to where it came down to that. And anytime you put it into the whistle of the official, especially these days, you don't know what you're going to get. And that one didn't go in our favor, whereas the charge called in favor of Tennessee a couple of weeks back, it did. And so you got to live with it and move on.
Mark, I thought it was interesting. Rick Barnes, I guess it was in the post game, explained that Jordan Bowden there in one of those final possessions where Vescovi ended up turning it over, that Bowden they were keeping the ball away from Vescovi, and Bowden still kind of forced it to him, and he had to split defenders in a tough spot and ended up turning it over where Barnes wanted him to make a play at the end. Is that kind of indicative of the type of season that Jordan Bowden's had?
Yeah, I think it's a sign of lack of confidence a little bit. I also think it's Vescovi has by all means exceeded expectations for what he's brought to the table with no preseason, half of a season, everything that's been talked about. But I also think it's a little bit of an indictment on Vescovi's ability to get open, and you are the guy that the coach wanted the ball in his hands. But Scobie, I don't care. I'd rather have you get called for an offensive foul for pushing off because you're so adamant about getting that basketball because you want to make a play. Just as adamant as I am of if it's Bowden, okay, I'm a senior. Yeah, coach called your number. You weren't able to get open. All right, now I'm going to go make a play. But that's just not – that's an example of Bowden is better when he's option two or option three. And it's not an indictment on him. That's just his makeup. And the fact that Viscovie couldn't get open led to him trying to drive it to the middle between two guys that led to the turnover to then free throws. That was one of those empty possessions that I was referring to that makes me more upset than the block charge call at the end of the game.
Let's get a call from Roger. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Roger.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm fine. Hey, Mark, man. Hey, Mark. How you doing?
I'm good, Roger.
Good. Good to talk to you, man. Since I met you one time, good to talk to you. And I just wanted to ask you, Mark, about the game, about Tennessee in general. I know that they had a tight loss at the end, Mark. I just want to ask you, Mark, how do you learn from what happened after what happened this past game at the end? How do you learn from that and try to get better at that, about that?
In watching that game, they are improving. You know, obviously Fulkerson is having an all SEC type caliber season. Pons continues to affect both ends of the floor. Our offense, there's still some breaks in scoring output, but it's becoming more fluid. A lot of it because we're realizing that we've got to play through Fulkerson, Pons, and Viscovie. Our identity is being slowly defined on the offensive end, but it definitely defense has been the focal point. How do you learn from it? It's our point guard play, our motion offense, getting easy baskets. Mm. You know, it's easy tape to go back and watch of some of those early things that happened in the first half, silly turnovers. You know, when you have the ball, when they turn the ball over 20 times, it's tough to win on the road against anybody, let alone a conference opponent. And so I think there's a ton of learning, but I also think that this team is getting better. I think a lot of ways the struggles that we've had this year, the lack of depth, is going to be a blessing to next season.
Right. Oh yeah, you're right. You're right, and you're right. They're getting better too. You're right. They're getting better. I think they are. And so forward to that game tonight, Mark. Tonight's game. How you think Tennessee going? You think Tennessee can win? You think Tennessee win tonight? You think tonight?
Oh, absolutely. I think I'm interested to see Jalen Johnson, Josiah James, really what we're at the point now in this season where Fulkerson is bringing what he's bringing, Pons is bringing what he's bringing, Viscovie, but it's these other guys. What's Bowden going to do? How is he going to impact the game? If he's not making shots, can he be impactful in the game? Same with Jalen Johnson. He makes a couple threes. How does he impact the game? How does Gaines, I really like Gaines. I like his effort. I like his length. He is improving day in and day out. But what does he do tonight? Josiah James, the second game back, showed some good signs. I'm more interested at this point. It's not necessarily about outcomes, because I'm looking at the bigger picture of this game is one that we should win, but how do we win and how are guys improving?
Roger, we appreciate the call. Thanks as always. Enjoy the game. We'll get a break and be back with more. We've got another segment with Mark Pankratz coming up as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
This ain't your mama's radio station. Unless you've got a really cool mama. 99.1, the sports animal.
Guest Mark Pankratz as we talk Tennessee, SEC, and college hoops. If you have a question or comment for Mark, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900.
Mark, how do you think Rick Barnes is going to use Josiah Jordan-James? Do you think after getting a game in his belt that maybe we see him back in that smaller starting lineup, maybe in place of a Jalen Johnson, or do you think there's still some kind of building back up to get him fully back?
Well, I think, you know, he played 30 minutes the other night and knocked down a couple threes. I thought, gosh, that free throw miss at the buzzer, I thought that might fall. But, you know, there is something to be said about when you look at our bench, you know, we've got no scoring pop coming off the bench. I mean, there's been times, I think, where, you know, the Kansas game, other than Jalen Johnson's one free throw, I don't think anybody else scored, and that's not abnormal. So, you know, whether it was Josiah, you know, I think there could be something to say at some point. Does Jordan Bowden coming off the bench alleviate some pressure? You know, it'd be nice to have a second unit guy, kind of like Lamonte Turner was last year, coming off the bench. But, I would expect Josiah to be able to play, you know, another 30 minutes tonight. But I do think it's important that we continue to sprinkle in good minutes from Devontae, Jalen, and Olivier to get more and more experience under their belt for not only down the stretch of the season, but also looking ahead to their experience and for next year.
There hasn't been a ton of discussion that I've heard about this, but it's something that I've been thinking about recently. How much does this team and maybe some of the older players like a Jordan Bowden miss Rob Lanier?
Well, I think anybody of Rob's, Coach Lanier's character, experience, you know, talking through the guys, of the highs and lows, and not just guys, you know, like any old players. I mean, he's been on some staffs at Florida, where he's talking to NBA, very successful NBA players, and I think that can be a part of it. But I think, you know, Kim English is a guy that you know, I really think stepped in and was a great replacement for Coach Lanier. I know those guys really respect him. He relates to those guys. It played at a high level. And so I think there's some of that where they miss Coach Lanier. But I think Kim English is a rising star in the profession that those guys have good fortunes of being able to lean on throughout the season.
Mark, you take a quick look around the Southeastern Conference. What did you think of Kentucky waking up Saturday, part of a three-way tie, going to bed as the only team in first place after both LSU and Auburn lost on the road?
Well, it's I know they were smiling ear to ear anytime as you can get some late unexpected losses this time of year. It's good, especially now, you know, Kentucky gets to go play LSU tonight, which will be a matchup that you know, Kentucky's interior play has been a big difference, but I really think their guard play has continued to improve which makes a huge difference, and it'll be a good matchup tonight versus LSU. Auburn, Achiura was out injured. They've been dealing with some sickness. I think Auburn's going to continue to be right there near the top, but there's not much separation. Florida's lurking around there, 8-4. South Carolina with their win, I think, is a step behind those others. But it'll be interesting down the stretch, and the league has shown that just like Vanderbilt beating LSU, there's some ones that you scratch your head saying, how did they beat that? And I don't think we're done with that. I think there'll be a couple more down the stretch, and hopefully Tennessee can be one of those that puts a couple upsets under their belt.
We've seen Joe Lunardi feature as many as six SEC teams after conference play began in his field of 68. Now it's down to four. Auburn and Kentucky, he has both as four seeds. I think he's got LSU as an 8 and Florida as a 9. But you do have two SEC teams that right now are in that first four out, and that would be Alabama, the second team of the first four out, and Mississippi State, the fourth team of the first four out. It really looks like Arkansas is going to have to put something together to finish strong to get back on that bubble, because the conference play has just been a nightmare for the Razorbacks, hasn't it?
It has been, but I really like Mississippi State getting in. I mean, you look at their remaining schedule, I think it's South Carolina, A&M, Alabama, Missouri, South Carolina, and Ole Miss. You don't have – now, granted, you lose a couple of those, and you're in trouble because they don't have any of their ranked opponents left. But they're going to have a chance to finish out strong in the league. And same thing with even, South Carolina. They don't have any – they've got LSU, but they don't really have any other ranked opponents. And we're comparing that to the Tennessee gauntlet, where they've got about everybody left. But that's what also makes for a fun SEC tournament, where you've got teams in the top tier, Florida through Kentucky, really battling for seeding. And then you've got another two or three teams that are fighting for their lives to get in the NCAA tournament. And so it'll make for a really fun SEC tournament, but I wouldn't be surprised if Mississippi State ends up getting into the tournament because of their schedule down the stretch.
How do you think Tennessee can fare in those final five games? You've got two of those games at home. You'll have Auburn here, you'll have Florida here, but you go to Auburn, you go to Arkansas, and you go to Kentucky. Is the best case the hope that you can protect the home floor?
Well, I don't think that's best news. I give Barnes and this team a little bit more runway than that. I think the best case would be, in my eyes, where if you protect your home court, and then you get one more. If you can beat Vanderbilt tonight, if you can beat Florida. My thing is that if you can go to Arkansas and win there, and then if you can get Auburn one of the times, I think that's where if you can get four of these down the stretch, I think would be a tremendous finish to the year. But I wouldn't be surprised if they even only won two of those ball games.
Mark, John Fulkerson, career high in points with 25, but had some of those mistakes, the turnovers, the missed free throws. What do you see from him and his development and contributing, but still having things that he wants to clean up?
Well, I'm not going to lie. Coming into the year, I was not I wasn't drinking the John Fulkerson Kool-Aid. I felt that the fan base loved him a little bit more because he was, one of their own and was kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt. And, you'd see him go up against the better opponents and he'd get, kind of manhandled on rebounds. But then all of a sudden he'd throw his body around and get one and the crowd would go nuts. And I'm like, wait, did y'all just not see that he got dominated the previous two possessions? But that can't be said anymore. I mean, he is having an all SEC type year. His effort, it used to just be you need to put him out there because of all the the effort and the little things he did. But now he has that mentality that he can score against anybody. He's going to defend. He's going to rebound. Yeah, he's going to make some mistakes because he's not, you know, he's not an elite anything other than an elite competitor. And I will take an elite competitor on my team all day, every day. You know, we were talking about earlier this week of like who on Tennessee's starting five would you take over anybody on Kentucky starting five or Auburn starting five or this. And I would take John Fulkerson on anybody starting five because of the way that he competes and impacts the game with his hustle. But now he's added the ability to score and make plays for his team. And so, he's made some mistakes down the stretch of that game versus South Carolina, but we wouldn't have even been in that basketball game without him. And so if he has another game like he did tonight, Tennessee will win the basketball game.
Hey, Mark, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. How's your squad doing these days?
Well, I'll be walking to the gym here shortly. We've got our first round of our tournament. We won our championship on Saturday. Another high-scoring affair, 12-8. But girls are playing their tails off, and I'm loving every moment of it.
Well, good luck, and congratulations. Keep it going.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great night.
All right. You as well. We always appreciate it. That's Mark Pankratz. We look forward to him joining us on Tuesday to talk Tennessee SEC and college hoops.